Keene of the NRA claims gun ownership has made this country less violent.
We're living in a country where in the last few decades, as gun ownership has increased, violent crime has fallen.
Gun control legislation is expected to take a backseat to talks on a deal to avert the fiscal cliff. Congress and President Obama are expected to be back in Washington on Thursday. A federal judge in Missouri is putting a temporary restraining order on a new state law that requires insurers to offer plans that exclude coverage for birth control. The law may conflict with a federal health care law. NORAD has just started tracking Santa, informing children about St. Nick's annual journey. This is NBC News Radio. Many big box stores have had their doors open for 24 hours a day to take advantage of those last minute Christmas shoppers.
We recall Black Friday did about $11.2 billion in sales, but they had very strong results compared to last year. Retailers are hoping that the consumers will come back and deliver those same strong results.
That is Bill Martin of ShopperTrack. Despite the strong Black Friday start to the shopping season, retail sales have been falling in the weeks leading up to Christmas. A major winter storm has been pounding Northern California with heavy snow as it pushes east. NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer says it will be bringing many folks an unusual white Christmas.
Eventually, we are going to see that snow take hold in Oklahoma, in Arkansas.
The winter storm could also cause major travel problems. There is some good news for drivers. The Lundberg survey reports gas prices have dropped about 10 cents in the last 2 weeks. The national average is now $3.25 a gallon. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two. Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees per line. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
When holiday shopping season 2012 joins the history books in just hours from now, practicality may define the entire season. NPD Group retail researcher Marshall Cohen says luxury gifts are taking a back seat in this economy.
Being able to sit there and put product that the consumer would normally buy for themselves but have had to put off. So accessorizing one's car, fixing up one's car, taking care of certain things in the home.
Cohen says helping this effort is consumers already maxed out on electronics like smartphones and tablets. And whatever was purchased, stores already are bracing for returns. Cornell University's Johnson Graduate School of Management says as much as 15% of gifts are likely to find their way back into stores, with most returned for a refund or different item altogether. Wall Street traders may return some stocks today as futures are pointing lower in what will be a shortened Christmas Eve session. S&P futures down 6 points. NASDAQ down 9. Dow futures giving back 52. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Up, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Eddie.
Fred, where you at?
Down here, under the car.
Oh, some kind of hardcore shade tree mechanic you are, huh?
Just trying to get the Buick in shape, heading to my sister-in-law's for the weekend.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, Parts Plus makes it easy.
Don't look forward to seeing mine.
Got the parts you need, good prices, and good advice when I need some.
Huh? Parts? What are you talking about?
Talking about Parts Plus. Ain't you listening? Hand me that wrench there, will you?
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two. Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees per line. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Baa Baa Black Sheep, have you any wool? No, sir, no, sir. Some nincompoop with pantyhose pulled over his face stole all my wool sweaters and gaming system. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency recently helped me with renter's insurance. Everything stolen was replaced, and the little boy who lives down the lane was caught trying to sell it online. Call Geico and see how easy it is to switch and save.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
And I turn my attention now to State Representative Lisa Braun, who I consider a friend. She is running for county clerk in Oakland County. Actually, it's county clerk, register of deeds. And you might be asking yourself the question, why would she go from state rep to county clerk? And, well, there's a profoundly good reason. And when the Republicans did redistricting, they basically pushed her out of her seat. That's my opinion. I'm not saying that's hers. So I'll just tell you what I'm doing. Here's the good news for those of you in Oakland County. As we talked with Kevin Howley earlier in the show, I guess we're Oakland County centric today. As we talked with Kevin Howley earlier in the show today, you know, we know that there are some pressing needs of this community. I can't think of somebody better qualified to lead the county than Kevin Howley. I can't think of anybody to talk about qualified to do the job of Oakland County clerk more than Lisa Braun. So we invited her on this morning. And Lisa, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Tony. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, you know, certainly the question, you know, is going to come up. Why would you want to necessarily take your, you know, to throw away your state rep seat, which you're not throwing away, obviously. But why would you walk away from that to be the county clerk in Oakland County? Why do you feel that's where your talents would best serve the people?
You know, Tony, and that's a great question that, you know, many people have asked me, why? Was it the redistricting? It wasn't the redistricting. You know, I've lived in Oakland County my whole life. And the things that have been happening and not happening that should be happening in our clerk's office, I couldn't sit back and say, that's okay. Let's let that continue. Let's let those bad practices continue. Oakland County residents deserve better.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty quick and concise answer. So, obviously, there's the big issue right now, and we've got to talk about this, Lisa. The big issue right now is Secretary of State Ruth Johnson insisting on the citizenship checkoff box on the ballot. As you know, your friend Carmela Sabaugh has said no. There have been others that have said no. The Secretary of State just doesn't seem to understand. She doesn't get to veto the governor. As you know, there's litigation going. So, Lisa Braun, if you were the Oakland County clerk, what would you do?
You know what, Tony? It's not the law. I would not have that checkbox on there. The governor, as you said, vetoed it. We do have a system of checks and balances. She doesn't have the power to override the veto of the governor. You know, personally, to me, having this checkbox, it's like, okay, every time you want to start your car and drive somewhere, you're going to have to take a driver's test. I mean, when you register to vote, you have to say that you are a U.S. citizen. I don't know, you know, what the thought is of saying you need to do that every time you go vote. And there, you know, voter fraud really is non-existent. And the only problems that have been happening have actually happened in the Secretary of State's office, and that is when someone goes to get their driver's license, the employees there are saying, would you like to register to vote? They're not asking, oh, but are you a U.S. citizen? So it's not that people are, hey, let me be real sneaky and I'm going to, you know, I'm not a citizen, but I'm going to go vote. It's that it's happening actually in the Secretary of State's office. So I think that's where she needs to address the problem. It's not, there's not voter fraud. We have election fraud. And that's a separate issue. You know, we've got my colleagues involved in a situation where we've got a grand jury investigating. But there's not voter fraud. So, no, I would not be, and it will be up to the local clerks whether they put out, you know, that application or not when people come to vote at their local precinct.
Well, right. And at least in my opinion, if the Secretary of State had any real teeth in this or any real muscle on this issue, she would be suing these clerks. So the truth is, there's no legal challenge here. There's no legal recourse for the Secretary of State. And you're right. I think you've identified it perfectly. It's about the way she trains her staff. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I am not picking on the people that work the front lines at the Secretary of State's office. If they're not properly trained, they're just doing their jobs.
Right. Right. And you know, Tony, the thing really about this checkbox is with our absentee voters. Because if they don't check the box, and now, mind you, this is something new. So if you're a senior and you're used to voting absentee, it's not, if you don't see this, and when the legislation even went through, there was no font requirement. There was no, hey, let's put this in red ink so that people can see it. If you don't check that box, your ballot may not be counted. You then would have to write on a separate piece of paper that you are, and state affirmatively that you are a U.S. citizen. So this is really, and I think that's where the governor came in with his objections, was how are we treating, what are you doing to people who vote absentee? And you're going to end up losing, people's voices aren't going to be heard. And, you know, people's voices being heard is a big issue for me.
No, and I know that's a big issue for you. Let's for people that don't know what the county clerk does, Lisa, I know that might sound like a fundamentally naive question, but what are the duties of a county clerk?
Yeah, and you know what? It's actually a great question. I've been going door to door and educating people because it's something that most people don't pay attention to. In Oakland County, the Register of Deeds is combined with the clerk. So that's not in every county. That's only in a handful of counties in Michigan, and it's up to the individual counties whether they want to do that. So in Oakland County, it's the Register of Deeds, so the deed for your home. And, of course, in charge of the elections for the county, the courts for the county, and then, you know, vital records, birth certificates, marriage license, applying for a CPL, DBAs, those sorts of things.
Okay.
So it's a place that most people have visited at some point, but they just really didn't put a lot of thought into where they were and, you know, whose services they were getting.
No, I just think, again, if it's a fundamentally simple question, but if you don't know, you don't know. And I'm a big proponent of if the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. So this is the one I
Absolutely.
Asked. I just want people
right.
to know. Well, you know, obviously, Lisa, there are, you know, there things can always be done differently, sometimes better, sometimes not, but things can be done differently. What's your vision, elected to Oakland County Clerk Register of Deeds? What's your vision for that office? What would you do different?
Well, one thing, Tony, is, you know, as I said, I've been going door to door, so yes, I'm telling people what the clerk does, but also I've been telling people about the mobile office. Out of the thousands of doors I've knocked, I've only talked to one person who even knew there was a mobile office. The mobile office, at most, has been traveling to communities twice a month. We have over 60 communities in Oakland County. So, you know, do the math. That means it's not making its way into every community, even in the span of a year. So I'd like to make sure that we are taking the mobile office into every community, and especially to senior centers, and assisted living facilities. You know, it's not easy for everyone to get down to the office on Telegraph Road, but there's some people who really just can't at all. We don't have a lot of forms of mass transportation in Oakland County. And I believe, you know, I'm bringing government to the people. Another thing I'd like to do is go to all of our high schools and colleges and university campuses that are in Oakland County and have our young people register to vote. I know that's a big issue for you, and you've been encouraging people to register to vote. And, you know, so that they can do it in person, especially our high school seniors, because if they go away to college, if they don't register in person, they can't vote absentee, meaning that if they go to school out of state, they either have to fly home to vote or re-register wherever they're now going to school or just not vote at all. And that's not what we want happening.
No, not at all.
So So, you know, there's a lot of things about bringing services to the people, but also restoring integrity to the office. you know, there's a lot in the Register of Deeds office that people have, that the clerk has to be on the lookout. There's been so much fraud. We've got documents that are robo-signed. We've got Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac who don't pay the property transfer tax because they claim that they were government entities, and you know, when they're corporations. We don't want a clerk who's going to turn their head at that. And, you know, education's been one of my big issues in the House, and part of that money of the property transfer tax goes into the school aid fund. So while we've had to, our schools have been cut, our clerk hasn't even been collecting all the money that's supposed to be going into the school.
Yeah, and that is a significant, this is one of the benefits to have somebody of your experience in an office like Oakland County Clerk Register of Deeds. We've got a call for you, Lisa. Let us turn our attention to Laura in Royal Oak. Laura, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Representative Lisa Brown.
Hi, Representative Lisa Brown. You've got my vote, no doubt. You've got a lot of people in my district and a lot of people that we've been splattering your name everywhere. The one thing I'd like to ask you is there is a stipulation for eligibility to vote that I'm getting questioned on, and maybe you can give me the answer. If a person moves and they're not a resident of a city or township within 30 days, where do they vote? If they're registered to vote, but they move mid-month, they're not a resident for 30 days before
right.
the election.
If they move after the October 9th date of registering to vote, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. So I believe that they have, within 60 days, they can still, if it's within 60 days of the election, they can still vote where they just moved from.
Okay, so, I mean, the point that I'm making, I guess, and the confusion is some people, they've moved, and they're not going to be a resident for 30 days, and they're concerned whether or not they should change their driver's license and their voter registration information for fear that when they get to the polls, if they don't match, they're not going to be able to vote.
Well, let's let Lisa contemplate that. We have to go to the break. Laura, thanks for the call. Lisa, can you stay with us? We've got the phones ringing off the hook here.
Absolutely.
All right. Lisa Brown is with us, candidate for Oakland County Clerk, Register of Deeds, current state rep, and a dear friend to those of us that care about democracy. Stay where you're at. First Shift will wrap it up on the other side.
This is Mark Brewer, chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. On behalf of the Michigan Democratic Party, I want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
Ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine and went on to cocaine and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million-dollar advertising firm and I couldn't function.
My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were. But none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoke and crack.
My parents and brother and sisters are just baffled. You know, how can somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom who's been swimming a lot with her kids must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
As we get ready to wrap things up for this Monday, October 1st, we've got a couple more calls. My guest, Lisa Brown, current state rep candidate for Oakland County Clerk, Register of Deeds. Lisa, we are going to welcome Ken in Warren to First Shift. Ken, thanks for giving us a call this morning. What is your question for Lisa Brown?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Representative Brown. Real quick question here. Pertaining to Oakland County government, which is basically shrouded in secrecy, I don't know why they do that, but they do. As you know, they got this policy, don't tell anybody anything. But I put numerous requests into the county clerk's office, Freedom of Information Act request, and asking for what should be absolutely public information, and they've all been denied. I was just wondering about your position on transparency to things of that nature, in which you actually, you know, basically go against the flow of this secrecy policy that they have in Oakland County.
Well, Ken, that's an excellent question, and thanks for the call. Lisa, I think that's a really good question. Where do you stand on transparency?
Well, I'm a big proponent of transparency. In fact, we have legislation that we've been taking up in Lansing and Oversight Reform and Ethics on FOIA, and I'm actually going to be offering an amendment to include the legislature and the governor and lieutenant governor's office in FOIA, because right now we're exempt. You know, the clerk's office, it recently was renovated. There's granite countertops. I've gone online to try and find out how much it's costing taxpayer dollars. I can't find that. I think that most things, you shouldn't have to ask for a FOIA request. It should already be online. You know, things like budgets and expenditures. I believe very much in transparency. I think that taxpayers have a right to know how their dollars are being spent.
No, I agree. So, Ken, let's make sure we get Lisa Brown elected in Oakland County to the County Clerk Register of Deeds, and then perhaps that path becomes a little sunnier for you. Our next call comes from Dave in Redford. Dave, appreciate you giving us a call this morning. You're on the air with Lisa Brown.
Yeah, hello, Representative Brown. Thanks for taking my call, Tony. Hey, my question was regard to voter ID and voter fraud. How is voter fraud, from the respect that you're saying that doesn't exist, how would that even be proven if someone came in under a different name and said, "I'm so-and-so," and they voted? I mean, it seems to me that that's really hard to prove. Is that true?
I'm sorry. I had a little bit of a hard time understanding.
I'm not understanding the question. Yeah, Dave,
voter
I'm not
fraud. When you say voter fraud doesn't exist, what I'm saying is if someone comes in and votes – under another name, how do you prove that that even happened?
Well, I mean, I guess there's a few different scenarios that could happen in. If somebody went in posing as me, they're going on under a different name. So is that what you mean?
That's what I'm getting out of it, Lisa.
I mean, I just recently, because of all the redistricting that's gone on, my local clerk, who does a great job, sent me a new voter ID card. To tell me, where I'm supposed to vote, because we've had some precinct changes and voting location changes in West Bloomfield. There's a why were taxpayer dollars spent on that if I don't have to at least, I don't have a problem and I agree with, hey, here's my voter ID card. This is me, and it's telling me which precincts I vote in and which districts I vote in and that sort of thing. So as far as somebody, I don't have a problem with having ID to show you are who you are and that you are, in fact, in the right precincts and to be voting and you're voting in the right area. So I'm not sure.
I just don't see where this is a big issue. I don't think there are people that are improperly representing themselves as someone else just to vote. I wish that were true.
Yeah.
I wish so many people were voting that all of a sudden 110% of people are voting, and we know that can't happen. But that's not the issue here. So I guess I understand the nefarious nature of the question. But I think it's an unnecessary question. Anyway, Lisa, we're just about out of time. I've got to tell you, as hard as you work, as hard as you've worked as a public servant for so much of your young life, I appreciate you stepping up in this way in the capacity as a candidate for Oakland County Clerk Register of Deeds. We do need transparency. We do need to clean up. We do need to make sure that our tax dollars are being properly spent. And for all those people in Oakland County, and I want to say this loud and clear, especially in the south end of your county, I love Oakland County. I own two businesses there, Lisa. I grew up in Oakland County. There are people that need help, especially on the foreclosure end of things. We need somebody a little sharper in there to catch all these. You talked about the robo signing. This is a bigger problem, Lisa, than people realize.
I know. And when you look at, and I don't want to throw a punch or anything, but when you look at my opponent and who's been contributing to his campaign and you see that it's the big mortgage, David Trott is a huge, contributor to his campaign. And then you see that, that's great that Bill Bullard puts out a statement, hey, watch out, Attorney General, we've got these robo-signers, but then in that, within that first month, he still accepted over 60 documents that were robo-signed. Who are you looking out for? And we have to be looking out for the people.
Now, I don't know if that's throwing a punch or just telling the truth, and I'm going to err on the latter because it's just about telling the truth. And for those that don't know who David Trott is, they are a law firm that has actually made themselves filthy rich, over the foreclosure mess in this country, and that in itself should be illegal. Lisa, we're just out of time this morning. Best of luck to you. If we can do anything for you between now and November 6th, we're here for you.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice segment. Really enjoyed that.
This is John Feigl from the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice in Detroit, Michigan, wishing everybody out there listening, Tony and all the folks at the station, a warm and happy holiday.
On 1310. WDTW.
Sweet Jack's giving away one gift a day for free to people like me. Enter every day for the next 12 days. Seriously, call *SJ. That's *75 from your mobile phone now to unlock today's gift and start winning big.
No purchase necessary. Enter online at SweetJack.com.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 11:30 a.m. WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 a.m. We will keep fighting for justice on 11:30 a.m. WDFN.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW DTW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthSpeed is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Listen, this conversation is a conversation that's going on statewide. It's happening in the blogosphere. It's happening in our major newspapers. It's happening on the radio and on television. The question is, what's happened to Oakland County? Why are they turning blue? And I mean that in a good way, not in a bad way. And what's to account for this? Well, it's an important discussion. I think it's one we need to have. So we are. And we turn now to my friend Frank Houston, who is chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party. And we welcome him back to First Shift with a hearty congratulations, Mr. Chairman, on a great election day for Oakland County.
Thank you, Tony. And thanks for having me back.
It is my pleasure. Listen, I think that there was no one more surprised by Jim Nash's election than Jim Nash. And I mean that in the best possible way. Jim was kind enough to join us a handful of times pre-election and actually called us the day after the election. I could hear the enthusiasm, the thrill, and, okay, a little shock in his voice. I mean, he told me. I have to keep telling myself, I'm the Water Resource Commissioner.
Well, fortunately with Jim, we have a good guy who's, I mean, he's got experience as a legislator, as a county commissioner. By nature, he's a policy wonk, and he's one of those people, he's progressive, but he's policy driven, and I think he's one of those folks who's going to focus on what's good for the public and not what's necessarily in the best interest of a few special interests. So I think he's the right type of person for the job, and I think it'd be great.
And Frank, and one of the things that impressed me about Jim Nash, and I think the same can be said for Lisa Brown and Andy Meisner and others, is that they actually want their jobs. The current Water Resource Commissioner is always looking for that next thing. In fact, he's got almost $500,000 in the bank and still loses a race to a guy that raised $25,000. And I get it. And I said this repeatedly on the show. Your choice in Oakland County is to either reelect a guy that doesn't want the job or elect a guy that does. Jim Nash wanted the job.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, obviously, the former Water Resource Commissioner McCall said, you know, talked about briefly running for U.S. Senate. There was always talk about him wanting to succeed Brooks, to use it as a stepping stone to U.S. Senate. And, I think the reality is, in 08, he almost lost the election running against a guy who put his name on the ballot just so we had someone on there for the party. And then with Jim, you had a candidate who worked a little harder, had a little bit more of a base, and they got him a couple thousand votes. What is shocking, though, Tony, is exactly what you said. The fact that he sat on over $400,000, which is the same thing he did in 08 when he almost lost. And I think sometimes, you know, as an elected official or as a candidate, you need to actually put the chips down for the office you want. And he obviously didn't want it. I think he nailed it. We have a better Water Resource Commissioner probably for it.
Yeah, and you definitely have a better count and clerk for it, and certainly retain a treasurer that is aces in my book. But, Frank, let's go back to the bigger question. And you're seeing it everywhere. In fact, there's even been some national chatter about Oakland County. It is no longer, and I'm just going to quote the article, the Republican firewall that it once was. And in fact, we are beginning to see what's happening in Oakland bleed into Macomb County. Their board of county commissioners got a little more blue as well in this election cycle. So what do we attribute this to? I know great leadership. I'll give you that. I mean, the chairman of the Oakland County Republican or Democratic Party is a great guy. But beyond that great leadership, Frank, what do we attribute this to?
Well, I think there's three or four main factors, probably the most important ones. I mean, everyone's talking about the demographic shifts. And we all know Oakland County and Metro Detroit's changing. It's diversifying. And it's not just folks from the city coming north. It's also people coming in the area. We have a growing Chaldean community. We have a growing Asian American community. You know, in places like Troy, as you know, Tony, you know, it's 20% Asian American now. I mean, and that's not in one cluster of the city. That's citywide. Almost every single precinct reflects that. So there's obviously changing demographics, but that's a long-term trend. That takes 10-plus years, you know, for us to get to where we're at now. It'll take another 10-plus years before, you know, someone like Dr. Taj, for instance, that'll be a benefit versus a hindrance in certain communities. But the thing that I want to hit on is, aside from the demographic changes, I think a lot of this is reaction to the radicalization of the Republican Party. I mean, when you have U.S. Senate candidates saying some of the things they did that are obviously offensive to not just women, but anyone with common sense, you have that sort of extreme nature, and then you have a candidate like Mitt Romney, who, although born and raised in Oakland County, I don't think most people here could recognize who he was, or I don't even know if he knows who he is. And that sort of looking for the tea leaves to tell you where to go sort of leadership is the exact opposite of how his father was, and I think it's the exact opposite of how President Obama is. And I think there's that sort of Republican Party where you have it going far to the right, and their leaders that are, quote-unquote, the moderates seem like they're just going to go with wherever the political winds take them. It hurts the party. It hurts the candidates. It makes it the electorate having to make choices with a lot less information than they probably want. And I think in the end, that helps build the opportunity for Democratic candidates who are honest and direct about who they are and have a little bit of a good track record behind them in a base to get elected easier.
Well, you know, let's use it as an example. This is a fight that you and I talked about on this very show, the whole gerrymandering of Oakland County and what happened, and Brooks Patterson getting involved where he shouldn't have fought. In fact, I thought it was maybe illegal, his involvement, but we'll set that aside. Frank, I'm just telling you how I feel. So
yeah.
We'll set that aside for a moment, but gerrymandering, without gerrymandering, Jim Nash doesn't get elected. I want to remind this audience that he was actually redistricted out of his county commission seat.
Yep. I mean, it was a very blatant targeting of Jim. So just, I mean, the recap for your listening audience, I mean, if you give us a fair fight in Oakland County, basically up and down the ticket, we won. Take our county commission, for example. The final two plans that were introduced for county commission districts, the one that was the Democratic plan legally was superior at every single criteria, but the Supreme Court, because it's Republican control, didn't accept it. If we had had that quote-unquote Democratic plan that was legally or superior in every single way, any attorney in the state would tell you, we would have had a majority in the county commission. But with this gerrymandered Republican one, we have one out of three seats. And you can go through the state house, you can go through Congress with, you know, the fact that we have a reindeer farmer now going to D.C. who's an extremist. This sort of redistricting, this gerrymandering of the districts is really the only thing holding back Oakland County from being a strong blue county, in my opinion. I mean, you look at all these other races, every single thing that was countywide that we were involved in, basically we had huge gains or won, in most cases both.
Well, you know, and I'll make this point. I had a conversation with somebody late last week who specifically told me that they no longer, because of the gerrymandering in Oakland County, now consider themselves an independent and are now voting for the candidate as opposed to the party because they are tired of Republicans, and this was their exact quote, cheating their way to victory decade after decade.
Yeah, I think people are catching on to that. I mean, if you look at, there's a lot of mixed results still out there for the election, and I think there's a lot of data that people are going to pore over, but it looks like our electorate is becoming a little more savvy or developing some sort of new way of evaluating politics beyond just incumbency status. And if you look, I mean, the Republican brand in Oakland County and our county-wise is pretty clear. They had a bunch of old white men who were elected for, you know, and generally handed their job in the county. Bill Board was appointed. Mike Bouchard was appointed. You know, people like Jim McAuliffe, and others. They're all a bunch of political hacks, and Brooks is in our circle. And then if you look at the folks we had, it was more diversity. I think more people actually passionate about those jobs, not just looking for a place to collect a few more checks before they retire or a stepping stone position. And I think the bottom line is voters pick up on that.
Well, I think one of the most impressive races was for the city clerk register of deeds. Of course, Lisa Brown has great name recognition, but listen, she was, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way at all. She was a state rep. People don't make that leap mentally. They don't go, oh, well, that would make her a great, you know, clerk. They don't make that leap. She had to make that case. She had to sell that to people, and she was very successful in doing that.
No, I think Lisa's definitely a rising star here in Oakland County, and not just because of what happened in Lansing with, you know, for basically telling people to leave my vagina alone. But, you know, when you look at the clerk that she beat, Bill Bullard, he was a state house member too, who sat, you know, after getting term limit from state house, went to county commission forever, and then was appointed the clerk at the same time he was breaking several campaign finance laws. So, I mean, this isn't a guy who had, in my opinion, a real commitment to the office. But, you know, setting that aside, I mean, I think if so you have Lisa going head-to-head with someone like Bill Bullard, who was at the time, by the way, well, he was county clerk and was supposedly protecting our elections, not just breaking campaign finance laws, but also a lobbyist lobbying against county interests at times. You know, I think that's a pretty clear contrast. And although I give Lisa a lot of credit, she ran a completely positive campaign. She didn't even go after Bill Bullard for any of those things. But if you look community after community, she made huge gains based on how we did in 08. And in 08, we didn't finish that far off knocking off Ruth Johnson. So, I mean, a lot of these races, it's you know, picking up a couple percentage points district to district, and that somewhat is related to the third issue I didn't hit on earlier, Tony, to answer your questions. The third thing is great candidates. So you have this changing demographics, you have great candidates on our side that are running, and I think a little lackluster effort on their side. And then the third thing is the Republican Party, I believe, is in a little bit of disarray at least, and in an identity crisis with less leadership in Oakland County than traditional, and that could be because of Brooks's health issues, or it could be because who knows if the soul of the party is going to get taken over by rational mainstream Republicans or a little more moderate, or this continued Tea Party and radicalization of the party. These factors mean big wins for Oakland County. I think really big wins for voters because now they have really good choices on our side and candidates who want to compete for these seats because they see it not just an automatic, quote-unquote, Republican county.
Now, there are a couple really important things that happen. We're going to have to take a break here in just a minute, Frank, so I'm going to ask you to stay with us through the break. But I do want to make this point. Both Jim Nash's opponent and Lisa Brown's opponent used taxpayer money in under the guise of a public service announcement where they had never done it before to advertise their name and what their office did. That was criminal. I'm glad criminal behavior was rewarded by them both losing.
You're here. Yeah, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it really is disgusting. When you're the county clerk and you're supposed to be the most nonpartisan person probably in county government and you're protecting elections, you shouldn't be, you know, milking the trough for your own reelection. And it's disgusting, and I know Lisa will be above that and put a stop to that when she gets in there.
Absolutely. Frank, stay where you're at. We're going to take a break, quick break. Frank Houston, again, my guest, chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party.
Hi, this is David Hecker, president of AFT Michigan. For those who celebrate holidays during the season, we wish you the very, very best. Enjoy it with your family and friends, and thanks for listening.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle.
unioncircle.com.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how was your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Or my guest is Frank Houston. Frank is the chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party, where they had a massive success last Tuesday and continue to make inroads. Certainly, the beginning of that process is not that far back. Certainly, the success of Congressman Gary Peters in Oakland County really did start to move that dial, Frank. And we have to thank Congressman Peters for continuing to be both moderate where we need him to be and progressive when we want him to be.
No, I think Gary deserves a lot of credit. I mean, Congressman Peters, when he ran in 08, I think a lot of folks said, well, how are you going to take out Joe Nolenberg? He's been there for a while now. Oakland County is still very Republican, even if we vote for Democrats for president. And I think Gary ran a great campaign. And I think Congressman Peters is still in office today because of the work he's done when he got there, you know, working to save the auto industry, working to take on Wall Street financial reforms that were long overdue. And I mean, and a ton of other smaller issues. So I think Congressman Peters definitely deserves a lot of credit. But also, I think for years we've had a growing trend of getting good people elected at the local level, too. You know, we went from having 5 or 6 county commissioners out of 25 to coming within one seat of taking over the county commission in 2008. So it's also that bottom-up, not just the top-down, that has really made a difference here over the year.
Absolutely. Frank Houston, again, my guest. Let's go to the phones and welcome our mutual friend, Frank Jim Amar, to First Shift. Jim, thanks for your call this morning.
Hi, Tony. Thank you. I have several things. First, Tony, I want to thank you very, very much for your support and how you helped me in my campaign. I really appreciate it. And I want to congratulate Frank for the great job that he did and his party did in getting those people elected in Oakland County. I think that's a significant accomplishment. My question for Frank is, do you know when they're going to have the elections for the chair of the new 11th Congressional District? Has that been decided yet?
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that's in January. But if you call the state party, they could verify that. But I think that's typically after the new year.
Okay. Very good. I appreciate that. Well, that's the only point that I can make today, Tony, but I'm listening every day, and if there's some issues that come up, I'm certainly going to call you and give you my perspective on things and how I feel.
And I always honor that, Jim. You're a good friend, and I'm only sorry that you weren't elected, but there are other fights in front of us, and I know you'll be in the middle of them. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Frank, one of the things that I said before the break is money. Certainly, yep. Brooks has a lot of money. And I've got to give Kevin Howley a lot of credit. He ran as competitive a campaign as you can. And let's be honest about it. Brooks is an institution. This is not somebody that we take lightly, but he is an institution. And there are Democrats that vote for this guy. They just like that he's ballsy.
Yeah, taking on Brooks Patterson, I feel like unless you're a Kevin Howley or a Brenda Lawrence or someone, who's done it, you really don't know how tough it is. And I worked closely with Kevin in 12 and I worked closely with Mayor Lawrence in 08. And, it's tough. And I think, to be honest with you, Kevin would have came a lot closer if it wasn't for Brooks's accident. Let's just say there's a lot of questionable things with Brooks's record that it's hard to get press on when the guy is in a coma and also when he's hiding that he was in a coma. Maybe not him, but his team. So I don't want to be insensitive to the fact that he was in an accident, but I think that really made it difficult for Kevin to be able to have a real discussion because it becomes, he becomes like Clint Eastwood talking to an empty chair.
Yeah.
And that doesn't get pressed the same way talking with Brooks Patterson does, especially with some of the crazy things that come out of his mouth. But I think the startling thing to me is not that Kevin ran a great campaign and put in a good effort. He really did, and I think he's another rising star in the party. I think the shocking thing is the fact that Brooks Patterson was in a coma, unable to talk. His county deputy lied about his ability to do the job and covered it up, and still there's been virtually no press on the fact that it was covered up. It's one thing to admit it later, but it's another thing that the lie to voters about his ability to do the job for a month or two. And I wish him well, and I hope he comes back and is the county executive as effectively as he ever has been. But the reality is, we were without our county executive and had no idea what his functional abilities were. And now we find out it wasn't a lot for a couple of months. It's totally inappropriate for any elected official. I don't care if you're Governor Snyder or President Obama. It is unacceptable when you're a chief executive to lie to voters or have your deputies lie to voters about your condition and ability to do the job.
Well,
that makes it difficult.
And Frank, certainly, and the media was an accomplice in this, and shame on them. They kiss Brooks's ass. They do. The free press and the news, they both kiss his ass. They both love the guy. No one holds him accountable. The Oakland press treats him as if he's some kind of deity. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Listen, Brooks Patterson has had one really great idea in the entire time he has served Oakland County. That was Wireless Oakland, and he couldn't make it happen, so he failed on the only decent idea he ever had.
Well, I think you're preaching in the choir with me. I mean, I think Brooks has largely rested on the successes of the economy in the 90s that probably had little to do with him. And then, let's be honest, when times are tough, you know, in the last decade, Oakland County lost property value. Oakland County had record rates in foreclosures. Oakland County lost record jobs. And when the recovery came back, you know, 9 out of 10 jobs that came back to Oakland County in the last, you know, 4 years was because of the auto industry, which Brooks Patterson obviously had little to do with. So I think there's a lot of credit he seems to claim, but doesn't step up when the times are tough to help fix a lot of the problems. And I, you know, like I said, I hope he comes back and is effectively able to move the county forward. But, you know, I think he's got a long recovery ahead of him. And my concern is now is if he finds out that just physically he's unable to do the job for some reason, you're then going to have this massive inner Republican circle power fight over who's the successor that, by the way, would be appointed by the county commission, which is Republican controlled and not chosen by voters. So hopefully he comes back and does the job a little better than he has the last 4 years. And, you know, I wish him well in his health as well.
Absolutely. I wish him well as well. And, Brooks, when you're feeling up to it, why don't you, one of those times where you're driving through Pontiac on M59 instead of just driving through to get to whatever bar you're going to, stop and see what your neighbors are doing. Just saying, Frank. Listen, I would imagine we'll have plenty of times to work together moving forward. You know, you're always welcome on this show. Congratulations again on the amazing operation that you've built. The Oakland County Democratic Party is a shining example of what happens when progressive voices work together towards common good. Common good is happening in Oakland County. Thanks so much, Frank.
Thanks, Tony. Have a great morning.
Yes, absolutely. Frank Houston, once again, chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party. Folks, you got to think about what Frank has had to take on and how successful he has been doing that. The one thing that and we didn't really get to the money conversation. I know I promised we were going to do that. We never got there. And we'll perhaps have that conversation some other time. But you have to understand, Frank Houston fights big Republican money every single day. They don't have that kind of money on the Democratic side. They don't have close to that. Frank can't pick up the phone like the chairman of the Republican, Oakland County Republican Party, and just say, I need $20,000. I need $80,000. Somebody can write that check. That's not on Frank's agenda. Again, progressive, passionate voices are winning because it's the right thing to do.
This is Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, wishing all of the listeners of First Shift with Tony Trupiano a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her, getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house. You're a drug addict. I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio. I'm Bart Neckert. A woman in an Afghan police uniform has killed an American advisor in what's described as an insider attack. Afghan officials suspect she has links to the Taliban. This is the last shopping day before Christmas, with some analysts saying shoppers seem to be spending less this year. NBC's Michelle Franzen says people are looking for bargains.
Retailers are meeting demand by offering more discounts and more time to shop. Toys R Us, Macy's, and Target, just a few stores staying open around the clock.
The Hobbit is still number one at theaters, the latest Tom Cruise film. Jack Reacher finished in second place this weekend. This Is 40 was third. A white Christmas no one is dreaming of is shaping up for a broad stretch of the United States. Forecast show a major snowstorm will arrive Christmas Day, spreading from the southern plains, including Dallas and Oklahoma City, up through the eastern Great Lakes and over to the northeast. This is NBC News Radio. The National Rifle Association is sticking to its call for placing armed police officers and security guards in schools. The NRA's response to the Newtown shooting is being attacked on several fronts. Congressman Chris Murphy of Connecticut calls it tone deaf and revolting. NBC's Peter Alexander.
The head of the NRA, Wayne LaPierre, said guns are not the problem. Instead, he took aim at the federal government, whose enforcement of existing restrictions on guns he called pitiful.
Students at more than 20 Philadelphia high schools will find something new when they return to classes after the holidays. The city is installing condom dispensers. Teens account for one-fourth of all new STD cases in the city of brotherly love. Republican Senator Michael Crapo of Idaho says he is sorry after being arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. He was arrested in Alexandria, Virginia for running a red light early yesterday morning. I'm Bart Neckert, NBC News Radio.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two. Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees per line. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
It's a scientific fact. Man can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
The kick is high, and it is caught near the 5-yard line. Brett Winston of Washington, D.C., you gotta hustle. Because your wife wants that diamond tennis bracelet for Christmas. And we're way past the 2-minute warning. Also, what's with you leaving your cereal bowls all over? This isn't a frat house.
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
When holiday shopping season 2012 joins the history books in just hours from now, practicality may define the entire season. NPD Group retail researcher Marshall Cohen says luxury gifts are taking a back seat in this economy. He tells us that things that consumers usually buy for themselves have been hot gift items this year, like things for the home or car accessories. And whether the gifts are practical or a bit more whimsical, stores are prepared for the onslaught of the post-holiday return season. Cornell University's Johnson Graduate School of Management Management says it's a crazy time for retailers since weeks of buying are condensed down into 1 or 2 days of returns, and they estimate that up to 15% of gifts given this year will be returned for a refund or for something else. Wall Street traders may return some stocks today as futures are pointing lower in what will be a shortened Christmas Eve session. Worries our time is running out for a fiscal cliff deal in Washington, so S&P futures are down 5, NASDAQ down 12, Dow down 35. I'm Steve Potus at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Eddie.
Fred, where you at?
Down here, under the car.
Oh, some kind of hardcore shade tree mechanic you are, huh?
Just trying to get the Buick in shape, heading to my sister-in-law's for the weekend.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, Parts Plus makes it easy.
Don't look forward to seeing mine.
Got the parts you need, good prices, and good advice when I need some.
Huh? Parts? What are you talking about?
Talking about Parts Plus. Ain't you listening? Hand me that wrench there, will you?
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two. Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees per line. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Like the introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheetz stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
He is the man that hopes to be the next mayor of the city of Detroit. And joining us now is State Representative Fred Durhall, Jr. Fred, thanks so much for being with us this morning, and congratulations on your decision to run for the mayorship.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. I certainly appreciate it, and good morning to all of your listeners and yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that as well. This is a this could not have been a light decision to make. Obviously, you're serving the very constituents you would like to, of course, represent as mayor of the city. Why did you feel, Fred Durhall, Jr., that this was the right time to step up and take on this challenge?
There are a couple of reasons. Number one, as you probably know, the city of Detroit is facing probably the worst financial crisis in terms of its government that we've had since the fire of 1701, and it threatens to undo much of the progress that has been made over the years in the city of Detroit. And in addition to that, there is a real concern about citizens being endangered because of the lack of services, because of the lack of financial acumen.
Well, certainly revenue is a problem, but we take a look, I have a substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. Some of those folks called the show this morning and wanted me to ask you some specific questions, and we'll get to those in a moment. But one of the challenges of the next mayor is working with the council, not fighting with the council.
Absolutely.
You are a city resident. This has to be very frustrating for you to see them not progressing an agenda that brings the city closer to some fiscal sanity.
I agree. I think that in the world of politics, sometimes you have to tone the politics down. Much like they're doing in Washington, D.C., when you're facing a financial cliff, you have to put aside all of that kind of stuff and get down to the business of taking care of business. I think the Detroit City Council, a legislative body just like ours is in the legislature, has a responsibility to its citizens. And I think also the executive branch of government, headed by the mayor, has another responsibility. And they both together have a equal responsibility to run things as smoothly as possible and to stay out of trouble and to try to provide the citizens the best and most efficient services that is possible.
Oh, I find it interesting. Of course, you made your announcement a couple days ago right away. As you know, there were some pundits that said, well, this guy can't win. And I'm not one of those people that believes that. I believe you have as much a shot at winning this as anybody. Maybe you don't have the political machine of a Mike Duggan or you don't have the incumbency of a Dave Bing. But what you do have is a deep, rich tradition and history in this city. I'll remind this audience, you've lived here since you were 6 months old. Fred Durall Jr., this is a time for serious, serious leadership and responsible people. Can you be that guy?
I am that guy. I believe my history as a public official, which spans over 30 years, is proof of that. I also think, Tony, that we need the kind of leadership that is going to lead. You know, leaders have to lead. They can't say that I'm a leader and don't produce. I'm a guy who believes in production. I'm more like the man with the monkey wrench. I want to get into the problem and start tearing it apart and straightening it out. And after we do that, then I'm fine. I think that these problems are solvable. I think that we sometimes get a little too political. But in the city of Detroit, we have a problem. We're spending more money than we bring in. And we've been doing that for the last 30 years. And it's finally caught up with the city of Detroit. Plus, there are some other systemic problems inside the city of Detroit that have to do with its computer systems. We've got two or three of them, and they're not talking to each other. The payroll system is a mess there. And vendors have to wait inordinate amounts of time in order to be paid for their invoices after having delivered services. There's just a number of issues there, and it's going to take, like Dad used to say, it may take a month of Sundays to straighten it out, but as long as we got a calendar year, we get busy, we can do it.
I don't disagree with that, and certainly one of the things that I have criticized the current mayor for repeatedly is showing a lack of not only leadership but a vision. We can talk about the problems all we want, Fred, but if we're not doing anything about them or, you know, not willing to compromise or not saying no one's going to tell me what to do, which he did recently with regard to the Miller-Canfield contract, how do we expect progress?
I agree with you. First of all, listen, if you're the mayor of the city of Detroit and you have this issue, see, we have a consent decree. Whether we like it or not, we're in it and we're under it. And we have to do what we have to do to meet the objectives in order to get the money that we need from the state. I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, just from getting money from the state, if the state requires us to do X, Y, and Z, we ought to be about the business of doing X, Y, and Z so they can make it happen. Because in the end, it's about receiving $10 million or $20 million or $30 million or not receiving it. And I don't think we're big and bad enough and affluent enough at this point where we can sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do this. I think also the mayor has a responsibility of dealing with legislators and giving them all of the information when he meets with them and talks with them. I can tell you this as a legislator. I would be very reluctant to sign on to any deal that I didn't know the details about. And I'm not just going to take the mayor's word that this is best for the city. If it's best for the city, the mayor ought to be able to prove and show that his proposal is best for the city. And then the council needs to act appropriately and quickly to do what is necessary so that we don't lose out anymore.
Now, from your mouth to God's ears, Fred Durall Jr., my guest, he current state representative, recently reelected, by the way. He has made an announcement that he's going to run for the mayor of the city of Detroit. That the journey begins 2 days ago. So we applaud his efforts. I have to ask this question. We played some audio earlier today where, once again, in order to, quote-unquote, balance the budget, the unions of the city of Detroit are going to be asked to make more concessions. As you know, Fred, there are union members right now that are making so little money they qualify, and some of them are actually getting food stamp assistance. Can we end this assault on union labor in the city, please?
Not only in the city of Detroit, which I'm certainly in favor of ending the assault on them, and as mayor, I will do whatever I possibly can to appreciate the fact that we've got great workers in the city of Detroit who have sacrificed, who have been asked and have given concessions over an extended period of time. And to go back and ask them to continue doing that and give up everything that they've ever worked for, I think is stupid, first of all. And secondly, I think that it is counterproductive in the sense that these are people that work and live in the city of Detroit. If we disarm them economically, how is the city going to prosper? These people will be spending money in the city, turning that dollar around inside the city of Detroit. If you strip that away from them, how can the city have a base or even existing? So I'm certainly in favor of working with the labor unions. I understand there's a certain amount of tension between the mayor's office and those contracts that have to go. But I think my approach would be different, and that is open the books. Hell, if you don't have any money, you don't have any money. Let them see it. Let's stare the eye.
I keep on thinking about, I had your friend Ed McNeil on this show, and he, and as you know, AFSCME went to the mayor, I'm pretty sure you know this, went to the mayor with a program that where they could have literally saved the city of Detroit $182 million in one calendar year. They wouldn't look at the proposal, Fred.
Yeah, I know it. And that, I think, is totally irresponsible. When I'm mayor of the city of Detroit, I'm going to tell you, anybody from the citizen, John Q. Citizen, can come to me, and if he's got a proposal and it makes some sense for bringing money to the city in terms of revenues or saving money in terms of being efficient and cost-saving, I'm going to take a look at it.
Oh, I think it's time for real people with real solutions to solve real problems. Fred Derhold, I had your friend Tom Stallworth on this show the other day. He couldn't have been more effusive in his praise for you, believes that you are the answer. He's not alone. There are a lot of people saying very good things, Fred, about you. I just want you to know as well that you're welcome on this program anytime. As your campaign begins to gear up, as you need some airtime, do not be afraid to reach out to us so that we can get your message to the people that need it most. Again, we have a very substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. We care deeply about what happens there. And Fred, as you know, as Detroit goes, so does Michigan. I want to wish you the best of luck and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I will certainly take you up on your offer. As you know, I don't have millions of dollars, and I don't proclaim to try to be able to get millions of dollars. But if there are some donors out there that want to write a check, we'll look forward to that as well. But, Tony, thank you so much. As this thing progresses and we go and the situation in Detroit goes, I'll certainly keep in touch with you.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that so much. State Representative Fred Derhold, Jr. and candidate for the mayor of the city of Detroit. A quick break here.
This is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, Rainbow Push Detroit President and State Coordinator. I'd like to wish the First Shift audience a happy holidays.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers workers free to achieve the American dream.
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
In negotiating the deal with the state, the city was told to use Miller Canfield Law Firm. They had Miller Canfield on the state side and Miller Canfield on the city side negotiating this bond deal. Well, Tony, what typically happens when a municipality gets bonds from the MFA, negotiated bonds, they get that money. They get access to that money. But in this case, Tony, in this unique situation, the state said, I don't want the city to have access to its own money. This is the city's money. I'm a Detroit citizen. We're paying taxes, or we're paying interest on that borrowed money right now, $137 million. But Dylan said, I don't want the city to have access to this money. Even the Michigan Finance Authority, Tony, said they didn't have a problem with the city having access to the money. It was Andy Dylan who said, I want them to have to come to me to get permission to use the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
Well, a National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide seven meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've got a great story to start this hour. I was reading the paper the other day, and the article starts off this way. Patricia Morgan lost her job with the U.S. Postal Service and ended up homeless, but she rallied and headed back to school in hopes of finishing off a bachelor's degree in social work. Then came another potential setback. Changes in rules around federal Pell Grants meant Morgan's dream was again up in the air. Why? Well, they changed the rules on Pell Grants, and they made it retroactive, which meant that more non-traditional students than traditional students, you can read that any way you want, older or people that have walked away for a while, were no longer eligible. So what happens to those that are partially done completing a degree and have nowhere to turn? Well, Marygrove College, I think in very much in spirit with their mission statement and tradition, has stepped up in an unusual way. So I'm happy to share this story with you, and I'm going to do it with the president of Marygrove College, Dr. David Fike. Dr. Fike, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning.
It's a
pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate being with you this morning.
Well, and on this program, we spend a lot of time talking about education, whether it's K-12 or higher ed, whatever it is. I'm a big believer in education. And as you and I both know, Dr. Fike, there are a lot of people, because of a troubled economy here in the state of Michigan and really around the country, that have decided to take a more non-traditional path to switching gears. Many, many people had to. They didn't really have much of a choice. And yet when our opportunities, especially financial, all of a sudden disappear and then the rules change, that can be very daunting, can't it?
That's exactly right. And the key issue here is the fact that these rules are changing in midstream, and individuals who are really been playing by the rules for years and working hard to juggle many responsibilities, work, family, and make progress towards completing their degrees, all of a sudden found themselves in a situation where their grants were what we call capped out. They what the rule change was they put a lifetime cap on how much Pell Grant one could use, which, you know, if that was a rule that folks knew about when they started, and this is one of the things that we're advocating should be put in, if it was a rule that one knew about when they started, you could plan accordingly. But it's patently unfair for individuals who, as I said, have been playing by the rules, working towards completing their degree, and all of a sudden now find the rug pulled out from under them. So, you know, we're really proud here at Marygrove that our response to this is grounded in our values, and our values have been for more than 100 years about providing opportunity and access, particularly to communities that have been traditionally underrepresented in higher education. In the early part of last century, that was women, when Marygrove was an all-women's college. But today we serve a co-ed, highly diverse student population, and we really go the extra mile to make college affordable. We have very generous financial support programs. For example, irrespective of this challenge that we have around a lifetime cap, Marygrove has a policy that right now, if students have a 3.0 GPA in high school and are Pell Grant eligible, full Pell Grant eligible when they come to us, we're able to package them financially so that they don't have to take out any loans to pay for tuition and fees to finish their degree here.
Oh, and we know that, and we can certainly have that discussion. We know how powerful and profound a problem that has come, and we know that we need congressional intervention with regard to loans. But what Marygrove College has done, and I certainly, the reason we have you here is you didn't just look at this problem and say it's a shame and, you know, maybe we can help people find some loans. No, you didn't do that. What you did was you said, you know what, let us fund their educations ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extraordinary measure, Dr. Fike.
Yeah, and as I said, we're something that it's really proud. It makes us very proud because we have responded from our core values and the core values of providing access. So, yeah, and you know, the individual that was highlighted in that story is one of many. We calculate that at the moment we have as many as 150 students who have had the rug pulled out from under them, and financially, this is a big ticket item. It's probably upwards of $1 to $1.5 million. And, you know, we're not a wealthy institution. We're a private independent college, but we're not one that has a significant large endowment to fall back on. And so this stepping forward is something that the entire campus has taken on. It's required folks to, you know, stretch their workloads. They work extra hours with these individual students because all of them now need to come forward and show us their plan of work that will get them across the stage to collect their degree within 2 years. And so there's a lot of detailed work that has to be done in that. Faculty's working very hard on it. Our advisors working very hard on it. And I think also, as the story highlighted as well, our trustees have stepped forward, and I'm very, very pleased that our new trustee, Nan Geske, who's an alum of the college, she graduated here in 1964, she stepped forward to pledge to match every dollar that our alums give toward this effort to fund the gap in Pell Grant financing for these students.
Well, if you would, Dr. David Feigl, let me remind my audience, the president of Mary Grove College, to take us behind the scenes. At some point, this was a conversation that ended up in the trustee boardroom. How did this process begin for you folks?
Well, it really was about, we when we learned about the rule change, and more importantly, when we learned about the scope of impact it was going to have on the students. In other words, we knew that there were likely to be some students that were going to be impacted, but it wasn't until the letters started coming out to these students from Washington as they applied for their grants and they were being denied that we began to realize that the numbers were, not a handful of students, but the numbers that I was talking about earlier. And it was at that point that it really became an all-institution response. It wasn't something that we could manage with small numbers. And so the board really understood both the financial implications, but I can't say enough about their commitment and their understanding and support for the mission of the college, because where many boards might, look at the financial implications and stop there and say, this is really sad and really tough for students that aren't able to finish their degree, but, frankly, there's not a lot we can do about it because look at our financial balance sheet. And to the contrary, they got to that point and said, we just have to do something that both works hard to address the financial issues that we need to address. Of course, we have to pay attention to the balance sheet. We have to make ends meet. But we have to do that in a way that reaches out to these students and helps get them across the line. It's the only fair thing to do, and quite frankly, it's the most important thing to do for our community, because the reason we do what we do in supporting and providing access to a quality education here in Southeast Michigan, here in the heart of Detroit, is because we know that investment in our young people, our investment in our people in this community to advance their education is the key to progress. And the board stepped forward and said, we're going to figure out a way to make this happen.
Now, let me just complete this picture from where I'm sitting, because I want people to fully understand. We preach a lot on this show, and in the best possible way, I would think. I would hope, anyway, Dr. Feigl. And I just want to point out, this is exactly what a community defines. What Mary Grove College has done is said, we are a family, and we have made a commitment. And if people are willing to make a true commitment to us, then we're going to return that commitment. For folks that don't understand, Dr. David Feigl, you have a fiduciary responsibility. It's what you were just talking about. Yet you didn't turn your back on either the financial backbone of your institution or the students that give you the community to begin with. You found a way, through the generosity of board members and others, to make sure that the commitment that was made when that student made the decision to attend Mary Grove was something that they could honor and that you could support. And I think this is the perfect example of what happens when everybody puts partisanship aside and does what's right for all parties. And this certainly is a shining example of that.
Thank you, Tony. I really appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to us to hear that from the community. We are very proud of that. We know that, in making those or addressing those challenges that you describe, and they're daily. There often are no easy choices. As I said, people on the campus are working quite hard. They're working extra hours. They're working extra loads. We have to realign and adjust different folks. So there's nothing easy. But to your point, when you focus on your values, when you focus on your reason for existence, and we're very mission-driven, then there are certain things that follow from that, and this, as I'm pleased to hear you say, because we feel that this I think is a very good example of that for Mary Grove.
Well, Dr. Feigl, we're out of time, but I just want to thank you for leading by example, and a shining example at that, and giving at least 150 students a chance at a life they didn't think they would ever be able to capture. You should be proud, as I know you are. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Dr. David Fike, president of Marygrove College. A quick break. We'll be open lines for a little while.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'd just like to wish all of you and your families the merriest and happiest this holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Ship with Tony Triano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
On 1310. WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
I'm very excited to talk to my next guest. Not only is this gentleman a dedicated public servant, serving his House district admirably, just reelected to another term, but he has such a rich and deep history helping young people, being involved and dedicated and invested in education, certainly understands the ins and outs of the city of Detroit and all of the challenges that they face, and is doing everything he can to represent them with pride and, of course, with a great deal of sincerity, which was our first word this morning. As you know, and we talked about this last week in detail, the governor has come up with a new reform plan. Part of the plank involves something called the Education Achievement Authority. Well, not everybody is on the same page as the governor, and that would include my next guest. Let me welcome to First Shift State Representative Thomas Stallworth. Representative Stallworth, happy holidays to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, happy holidays to you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I certainly appreciate everything that you have done, both in the House and, of course, throughout your professional career. Nobody is more invested in the House, I think I can safely say, than Thomas Stallworth as it relates to education.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate that. Those kind words, but you know, I'm a father of four, grandfather of two, and I really understand that public education is the key to upward mobility for all of our families, and so I do everything I can to support kids getting the best possible education.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Education Achievement Authority, and I know that this is not something you're on board with at this time.
That's correct, Tony. That's correct. The way current legislation is written, it is again an overreach by the governor and the Republicans, but doing more of their continued alternative governance initiatives. And if we heard anything through the last election, as the voters told us, they want us to respect local control.
You know, it's interesting, and you come at this with a little bit different perspective. You are not You are not anti-charter school. You're pro-education. And there's a big difference. You're also very pro-public education. And so you have been, if you will, an equal opportunity person with regards to making sure that all children have the best available tools and skills, that they have the best teachers and the best facilities. And this actually begs, I think, a pretty obvious question. Does the Education Achievement Authority get us closer to the goal of a richer, deeper, wonderful tradition education? Does it allow us a platform to make sure that our children are prepared for the challenges that meet them? And this doesn't do any of that.
No, it really doesn't, Tony. To your original question, you know, though, the Educational Achievement Authority, which right now includes 15 schools in Detroit, really haven't demonstrated a track record of delivering the kind of quality performance that it has espoused. And quite frankly, we heard in testimony during our committee meetings that, you know, we have classrooms with 50 and 60 children in them. That safety is at risk for students who are attending the school, that they're not staffed effectively to provide a safe environment for children. That Title I dollars haven't been provided to those EAA schools, and so, which basically means, again, they are underfunded and can't possibly deliver the kind of services that they are espousing that they can. And so, once again, the governor is running ahead of us. He believes, I think, that musical chairs, changing the person in charge, will make a difference. When you and I know and parents know that what really makes a difference is what goes on in those classrooms.
Well, there's no question that's true. You know, I look at what is proposed. I'm deeply involved in education issues, and the show has dedicated countless hours to fairness and to truth. And you know, we want to have a real discussion. We want to reform education. We certainly want to make sure our children are safe and given opportunities. But we also know, Representative Stallworth, that not all school districts are created equal. They're not all getting the same amounts of money. They're not all getting the same kinds of technology. And we see what the Republicans have done to education in the last 2 years. How can anybody honestly look at what the Republican agenda and this governor's agenda has been for public education and honestly be able to, I mean, look in the mirror and say to themselves, we're doing something good here? Because they're not.
No, they obviously not. And again, I just look at it from a parent's standpoint. And parents want a school that's safe for their children. They want a school where the teachers are competent. They want a school where their children are motivated and inspired to learn more, and they care less about who's actually in charge of the system. The Republicans, however, spend all their time worrying about the system and have no real track record to stand on. Quite frankly, all we've got to do is look at what's happening with performance with DPS and Highland Park, where the ACLU currently has a lawsuit based on the underachievement of Highland Park while it has been under emergency manager rule. And so as a state, we have not demonstrated that we're any more competent at running schools and school districts than those that the public elects to do so. You know, so this becomes, and it smells like, more and more of the same, an effort to privatize and dismantle the public education system as we know it, all with the intention of allowing private entrepreneurs to get into the public trough and to earn a profit.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, when we uncovered last week that that privatizing could mean actually Michigan taxpayer dollars leaving the state, as you're well aware, Representative Stallworth, somebody can come in and run the school that's based in Iowa. When we take a look at that, I mean, the idea of my tax dollars going out of state to questionably educate my children. Now, we also, of course, need to talk about There are no guards in here. There are no benchmarks. There's no way to measure. And what the governor is asking us to do is embrace expanding a system that we don't even know that's going to work yet in the EAA.
Well, you make a really great point, Tony, because not only aren't there any measures or targets for improvement, the language actually eliminates the requirement for the schools in the EAA to participate in state-mandated metrics that would measure the performance of those schools. And so the public would actually end up flying in the blind. Parents would not know how well those schools are performing as they're trying to make a decision as to whether their child should attend. Listen, quite frankly, the governor and the Republicans really have taken a dysfunctional approach to educational reform. If we really want to prepare our kids to compete in a global environment, what we should be doing is looking at those countries who are outperforming us with public education systems and learning from them and using the data and the learnings that we get from them as to how to improve our system. That is not what we're doing. What we're doing is taking poor communities, poor schools, poor students, and doing this a private entrepreneurial experiment with their futures. And that is just a sin as far as I'm concerned.
Well, isn't this, and I'm just asking the question, I mean, if I might recall my facts correctly, you know, didn't the voters in the state of Michigan just a few years back say no to vouchers? This sounds like a voucher program is what it sounds like.
Well, it is. This particular bill, SB 6004, is linked to House Bill 5923. Now, you know, the governor's staff will tell us that it's not linked, but we know in effect that it is. 5923 is legislation that actually opens the door once again to a larger use of charter schools, a larger use of cyber schools, a larger use of online learning for our adolescents, none of which has been proven to deliver the results. Hey, during the last session, we met with legislators from Colorado who expanded their cyber school program. The one thing they said that they would have done differently, admittedly, is they would have put performance measures in place to ensure that those cyber schools were delivering the results that we needed. And they would have adjusted the funding for them because we know cyber schools don't require brick and mortar like traditional public schools. None of this is in the legislation that the governor has proposed.
Yeah. Representative Stallworth, we need to take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Sure.
All right, great. Representative Thomas Stallworth, my guest. Much more to get to on this topic. I assure you, much more to get to on this topic, but let's take this quick break, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Trupiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh, yeah.
Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, Visit fatherhood.org.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
888-55. Representative Thomas Stallworth is my guest. We're talking about education reform here in the state of Michigan. The lame duck session of the state house starts today. And we're going to get to that in just a bit. You know, Representative Stallworth, I have to ask, you remember the Detroit School Board, the Wayne County Community Child Care Coordinating Council, the Black Child Development Institute, the Children's Aid Society. Has anybody ever come to you and said, you've been around education a long time, you have helped generate success in many ways, both in the public schools and in charter schools. What's the solution here, Representative? Has anybody asked you that question?
Well, unfortunately, no, Tony. You know, we're out of balance in terms of power in the House. Even after picking up seats on the Democratic side. And, you know, the Republicans and the governor have the votes that they need, and they just push their agenda, which really caters to special interests and a privatizing of public schools and public resources. This has little, this, you know, Tony, honestly, and you know this, we've talked about it before, this has very little to do with helping children and helping our schools perform. This is all about money. And it's about opening a door for private interests to run public schools and to make a profit doing so. And you and I know that if profits are taken out of the school dollars that are allocated, that basically means there's less dollars for kids. And the resources and the education that we need to provide them.
What can we do? And I think that we need to really get to the heart of this. What can we do as voters, as constituents, to stop this madness? Although we don't have the numbers, certainly the imbalance you talked about. But as voters, is there something we can do? I mean, is it enough to just call or write?
Well, yeah, I think the calling and writing is a good first step. And we got to remember it is an electoral process. The governor's got to run again. And I think he needs to hear from the public about how they feel related to these measures and these efforts. First, to reinforce the message that We want the state to respect local control. Secondly, to make sure that he understands that we don't want to use our kids as guinea pigs, that we are not interested in initiatives that have no proven track record and have no analysis to support that they should be implemented. You know, again, as a father, you know, every day is important that our children attend school. And we really just can't afford to lose days of quality education while we're trying to experiment with new ways to govern.
Well, it just seems to me, Representative Thomas Stallworth, that everything that this legislature and this governor has done, the Republicans, I should emphasize, has diluted the product, if you will, the product being public education or education in general. Every time you expand the amount of charter schools or the amount of cyber, I'm very concerned about cyber schools. But it seems like we just dilute the product, that we're not enriching the process. We're certainly not supporting teachers. I would suggest morale is probably at an all-time low. I mean, you can only privatize and worry about profit. When you start teaching, or when you start treating education like it's McDonald's, it's not. It's not fast food. It's not a business. And you need to be very careful. Are we taking care? You talked about Title I. Are we taking care of the most needy children? And I have to suggest that we're just not doing that. We're failing our children.
No, we really are. And again, we heard some of the most egregious testimony from teachers inside the EAA now, testimony that indicated the mainstreaming of special ed students in classrooms of 45 and 50 students with no individualized learning plan. They are getting zero attention. Teachers are basically faced with the challenge of making a decision. Do I spend my time with the special ed children and ignore the other children, or do I spend my time with those on the normal track and ignore the special ed children? I mean, let's think about it. A teacher in a classroom with 50 children in it, with no help, how could they possibly be expected to deliver any kind of quality educational outcomes? And so, again, you know, what I like to emphasize is this, Tony, is that we can spend a lot of time arguing over who's in charge and playing this game of musical chairs. And while we're doing that, we're missing every opportunity to impact what goes on a day-to-day basis with individual children in the classroom. Just as a way of an example, the chancellor of the EAA, I think he was paid somewhere close to $500,000 using corporate dollars and nonprofit dollars. Well, you know, if we're so effective at raising those kind of dollars to help schools, why aren't we doing it in a way that actually affects the classroom? Why are we doing it to pay executives more and more? And again, to me, this lines up with this emphasis on privatizing public education and running it like a business. Superintendents typically don't make that kind of money, nor should they.
Now, let me very quickly, because we're almost out of time, two things I want to get to. The lame duck session of the legislature begins today. Obviously, by the time this day is over with, we're going to understand what the Republicans' agenda are. Right to work is something that's of grave concern to most of the people in my audience. We've got some fights ahead of us, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We've got a number of very challenging legislative issues that to face. Right to work, obviously, is one. And again, I think if there's any misunderstanding in Lansing, I don't think that the fact that that Proposal 2 failed was an indictment on collective bargaining. It was maybe people feeling like the Constitution didn't need to be amended. But we really need to understand that the passage of Proposal 1, our success there really was an indication that people want contracts to be honored, and they want local control. And so a clear message has to be sent to the governor and the Republicans that this need not be and should not be an opportunity for them to try to push a right-to-work agenda.
Absolutely. We're ready to fight that fight. We've only got about 30 seconds left. Your friend Fred Durhall announces his candidacy for the mayor of the city of Detroit. Good news.
That is good news. And quite frankly, we need some talented folks who know their way around Lansing, who understand the connection between Detroit's fiscal stability and the support that's required from the state legislature. And Fred certainly is well-equipped and competent enough to handle that job.
All right, we're just out of time for today. Happy holidays to you, Representative. I know we'll talk again soon. Thank you for so much of your time this morning.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, Tony. God bless you. Happy holidays, and I hope to talk with you soon.
Thank you. Representative Thomas Stallworth. A quick break here.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW.
The following letter was written by Petty Officer Eric C., U.S. Navy Reserve.
Thank you for all your support. As we endure some of the toughest times in our lives, it's comforting to know that you are here, alongside us in spirit. It gives me a sense of pride that can't be explained, only felt. And I would have never felt it had it not been for all of you.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. To show your support, visit americasupportyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Before you knew this woman's worth, before you rocked my poetry, before Usher was my boo and A minor was my key, before you knew my overnight success was 7 years in the making, you heard me, Alicia Keys, on the radio.
Radio, you hear it here first.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bart Necker. The 17 million Americans who will be doing their Christmas shopping today might be rewarded for waiting until the day before Christmas. NBC's Mariski Avacampo says retailers say they could see the sort of bargain prices early shoppers found on Black Friday.
The stores are opening their doors early. They're offering deep discounts and big deals to try to lure those last-minute shoppers. And those procrastinators are expected to flood malls all over the country.
A woman in an Afghan police uniform has killed an American coalition contractor in what's described as an insider attack. The shooter has been arrested, and Afghan officials suspect she has links to the Taliban. Some lawmakers say they expect to spend New Year's Eve on Capitol Hill trying to avoid a fiscal cliff that will bring tax increases and program cuts. Financial markets are largely steady worldwide and holiday thin trading today. There is a holiday shortened trading session on Wall Street. This is NBC News Radio. A major winter storm that has dumped steady rain and snow in Northern California could strengthen as it makes its way east, promising travel headaches. But NBC's Gabe Gutierrez says there's a bright side on the roads.
AAA estimates more than 93 million Americans will travel this holiday season, most by car. And for those drivers, there's some good news. Gas prices down to an average of $3.24 a gallon.
As of January 1st, U.S. Marines will be in line for random breathalyzer tests twice a year. Those are the orders because binge drinking in the military has risen from 35% of all personnel in 1997 to 47% in 2008. Facebook's seldom used Poke is about to evolve into its own app. Pokes allow users to send messages, pictures, and short videos to friends with a catch. They self-destruct in as little as 10 seconds upon viewing and leave no trace. I'm Bart Neckard, NBC News Radio.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yeah, I'd like to, say thanks for that discount thing.
Ma'am?
You know, the, monthly Sprint discount you gave me.
You're welcome, but why are you whispering?
Because if this gets out, everybody in the whole credit union will want a Sprint discount like I got.
But every credit union member can get a Sprint discount like you got.
Sure, Sure, if you keep blabbing about it loud enough for everyone to hear.
It's no secret. If you're a credit union member, you can save 10 to 15% every month on your Sprint monthly service plan. It's part of a program called Invest in America, where credit union members get big discounts on essential goods and services, like Sprint wireless service. And as a credit union member, Sprint will also waive all your activation and upgrade fees.
Ex-nay.
So if you aren't already a credit union member, it's another smart reason to join.
Jeez, why don't you broadcast it?
Actually, we are.
Oh.
Learn more at lovemycreditunion.org/sprint. Coverage not available everywhere. Discount subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $350 early termination fee, credit approval, and deposit. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
There's been a lot of talk about the fiscal cliff, but have you heard about the container cliff? Well, we're headed to one on the East Coast with a threatened dock workers strike that could close 15 ports from Boston to Texas. It would be bad enough for local businesses, which help to service the ports, but retailers around the country warn of a devastating hit to the supply chain of merchandise. The deadline for an agreement between port management and the union is set for this Saturday. Negotiations broke off earlier this week after management said they want to cap container royalties, which are payments made to longshoremen based on the weight of the container cargo. Wall Street traders may see some red ink today as futures are pointing lower in what will be a shortened Christmas Eve session. Worries time is running out for a fiscal cliff solution have S&P futures down 5 points, NASDAQ down 10.5, Dow futures in the red by 36. Oil prices also slipping, giving back 28 cents, $88.38 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
42, 43, $2.43.
My girls are trying to break into the lemonade biz. It's rough out there. I told them to use email marketing from Constant Contact. It was the right choice for growing my small business, GoTime Fitness. Email really works because you know people are checking their inbox every day. Well, here comes the competition.
With email marketing from Constant Contact, you'll have the tools to easily create custom emails that will work for your business. Plans start as low as $15 per month at ConstantContact.com.
Hiya, Fred.
Hello, Eddie.
Fred, where you at?
Down here, under the car.
Oh, some kind of hardcore shade tree mechanic you are, huh?
Just trying to get the Buick in shape, heading to my sister-in-law's for the weekend.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, Parts Plus makes it easy.
Don't look forward to seeing mine.
Got the parts you need, good prices, and good advice when I need some.
Huh? Parts? What are you talking about?
Talking about Parts Plus. Ain't you listening? Hand me that wrench there, will you?
For the location nearest you, go to PartsPlus.com.
What's better than one unlimited gift from Sprint? Two. Buy one unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, S2, or Victory phone and get the same model free after $50 mail-in rebate. Hurry into your local Sprint store or visit Sprint.com for details today.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees for lines. Rebate via reward card. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Like the introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
We have a very interesting hour. We're going to explore two issues. One of them, at the bottom of the hour, is going to deal with something that we don't talk enough about, and that's recycling. But the first half hour is a mix of very troubling news and important information. Reality checks are often difficult. This one, I think, a little bit more difficult for those of us that have children in this age group. Let's get to some information. Joining us now is Jane Zender-Merrill. She is the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. Since 1994, Jane has managed the Kids Count in Michigan project that produces an annual data book on child well-being and conducts an ongoing public information campaign around children's issues. This one is fascinating, and we welcome Jane to First Shift. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Jane, and happy holidays.
Thank you
very much. You too.
You know, I'm going to just read the headline on the press release. It says, more disconnected youth are jobless out of school. Can we define disconnected?
Yeah, it means that these young people are not only without a job, but they're not attending school. So they're just sort of off track completely. They're not moving ahead in terms of gaining skills, and they're certainly not getting any experience in the labor force.
And we're talking about the age group of 16 to 24, is that correct?
That's right, and less than half of them have any kind of job.
Those are astounding and very, very disappointing and starkly real numbers. You know, I'm sitting here, I mean, 20% of kids in that age group. 20%, Jane. I don't mean to keep on repeating myself like a broken record, but sweet God, where is this? I mean, I think it's going to get worse. I don't see it getting better.
Well, that's the big concern, because if these young people miss the train that's leaving during these critical years in their early 20s, late teens, and they don't get any part-time experience or work into a job of any kind, they are just going to be behind the curve their entire working life. So that's why this report, I think, sounds a note of urgency. We hear a lot about workers that have lost their jobs and older people who are struggling, but we're not paying enough attention to this age group that are simply not making that transition from school or into school or into a job, and the opportunities just aren't there for them, and we need to be talking about what we can do to make this happen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Just the late last week, it might even have been this weekend, I was reading an article about non-traditional roles for older workers. And what they meant by that is there are a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s that are taking what were once considered teenager jobs, McDonald's, Burger King, bagging groceries. And because they are more mature, they are willing to do these jobs, they seemingly have a work ethic that employers are willing to take a chance by paying them minimum wage or a little more, as opposed to hiring that kid that desperately, Jane Zundermerrill, needs that first job. Do you see that as part of the reality here?
Yeah, that's part of the reality. And, of course, people have lost pensions and older people have lost jobs at a time in their lives where they're not ready to retire or able to retire. So we're sort of having a squeeze on both ends of the spectrum here. But the issue is, if these young people don't get connected to the labor force, they will not be able to move forward. And this will have huge implications, not only for them, but for our communities and essentially the economic viability of the state, to have this many young people who don't have a connection.
How do we even begin, Jane, to start to solve this problem? Is it at education? You know, yesterday we had Steve Cook on, the president of the MEA, and we were talking about building a new education philosophy. That it's a K-14 philosophy, actually pre-K-14 philosophy, that once again includes vocational education, something that we have really let go to the wayside. That is a path. Not every kid wants to, not every kid should have to go to college if that's not what they want. I mean, Jane, that's just a reality. I mean, I'm not saying that there some kids are just not bright enough. Some people don't want to do college, but we have lost focus from an educational standpoint. Do you think it begins there, Jane?
I think what the report is saying is that we need to at the national level and at the state level, enlist multiple partners. It isn't just the education system. The young people need to have multiple entries, multiple ways to get connected and back on track. So it's the education system, it's the workforce development system, it's local communities sort of pooling their resources and collaborating around young people who are disconnected in one way or another. It's also our workforce development system, which is very fragmented right now, very decentralized. We have no data about how many youth are served in our workforce development efforts at the local level. So it's multiple partners talking to each other at all levels and seeking to address the problem. We tend to to look to like the education system or the foster care system, to look at everything in isolation. The truth is that these young people are involved or disinvolved in a number of systems, and we need to meet them where they are. We have done some things in the state around alternative education, but we've vastly defunded adult education. So if kids don't make it through that K-12 system successfully, there's not a lot of ways back in, and we're very concerned also about young people at the community college level who don't have the skills to start college or do a post-secondary training. And the reality is, according to the report, that 3/4 of jobs in the next decade are going to require some kind of post-secondary training or skill building.
Well, we certainly have serious issues to discuss here. My guest again, Jane Zender-Merrill. She is the project director for Kids Count in Michigan at the Michigan League for Public Policy. You know, Jane, I realize, and I'm very sensitive to the fact that we have lots of different demographics, constituencies, if you will, that are challenged. We have, as you just said, a senior citizen set, or those approaching retirement that suddenly find themselves losing what were once promised benefits and insurance and forced to go back to work. We have adults that had been in the workforce for years that were displaced or downsized. We, of course, have the problem we're discussing. We have the other problem with kids, young adults graduating college to find themselves not being able to find a job. This is a systemic problem. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, part of my confusion and the reason this really piqued my interest, my God, Jane, where do we start to fix this?
Well, we certainly need to sit down. We need to get multiple partners involved and sit down and start strategizing. We can't ignore it. It isn't going to go away. And it's having severe consequences for these young people, as well as our economy as a whole. I think that's why this report is so important, and I'm so glad that you're giving some airtime to it, because there are a lot of young people in Michigan who find themselves in this position, and we need to be looking at ways to address it. There are small efforts in local communities. That could be taken to scale. We know that there are successful programs out there that we could extend. While we're talking about the fiscal cliff and disinvesting in programs, we need to think about the long term. Politically, we think way too often short term, and we've got a long term problem here.
This is a long term problem, and at 20%, And no plan in place. I think what I find most disconcerting about the conversation to this point, and we should probably spend some time talking about the lack of state involvement and the lack of federal involvement, as almost, Jane, I hate to say this, is that they're not even paying attention to the problem that's in front of them.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and why this report is very timely. And the implications are quite profound.
Well, you know, we've got to take a break, so I'm going to ask you to stay with us through the break so we can come back and talk more about this. But, you know, seemingly, I want people in this audience to think for a moment. By the time you were 16 years old, had you had a job yet? You know, by the time I was 16, I think I was on my second job. Of course, it was a little different back then, Jane. You know, you could get a job at 13. You really could. Whether it was legal or not is another question, but you could get a job at 13, and you begin to ask yourself, as we get to the break here, that experience. Think about this personally, folks, just for a moment. Think about it personally and how it had a positive impact on who you are today. And if it's not happening, think about the impact of not having those experiences. Jane Zender-Merrill, my guest with the Michigan League for Public Policy. A quick break.
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky. 10 parsecs, which is really high. Helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President L. Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ed McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the unions had did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
My guest once again, Jane Zender Merrill, the project director for Kids Count in Michigan. It's part of a, by the way, a national coalition. 6.5 million disconnected kids nationally, 222,000 in the state of Michigan. And here's the statistic that'll really get your attention. You ready for this one? This one blew my mind. Just 45% of those in 2011, 45% of those 16 to 24 were employed, dropping from 67% in 2000 over Jane, over an 11-year period of time.
Mm-hmm.
To see that kind of drop is devastating.
Yes, and it's been stagnating. I mean, we're supposed to be in a recovery period now, and these statistics are pretty bleak. So clearly, we can't sort of let the situation roll along. We need to be talking about ways to address it in terms of getting young people the opportunities that they need to get connected.
Yeah, well, we need to talk about it loudly. We need to talk about it boldly. We need to talk about it often. And we need to do more than talk about it. We need to do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Jane, what really makes this such a dangerous mix, it'd be one thing if these were, you know, well-educated young people that just couldn't find a job. That's not the case. These are people that have, like we've said, disconnected. They're not in school. They're not working. What are they doing, Jane? I mean, that's the question we should be asking ourselves. If they're not in school and they're not working, what are they doing?
Yeah, right. They may be living in their parents' basement or bunking up with friends. I mean, clearly they just don't have any kind of income to be able to survive. And that's one of the items in the report, too, is that these young people need a lot of support no matter what system they come back into to get on track, whether it's the education system or whether it's a workforce development program or whether they get a toehold in a job. There has to be some supportive mechanism to help these kids stay connected. Many of them may lack the skills that they need because they haven't had the experience of jobs, of having a job. As you pointed out, lots of people in older generations started work in their early teens, not their late teens. So we have a big challenge ahead of us in helping these young people get connected and stay connected.
Jane, I don't know what the definition of epidemic might be with regard to this issue, but this seems to me to be epidemic level, if not pandemic at some level.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, when you're talking about half the population in that age group, it's a pretty serious problem.
Oh, you know, I asked in a fairly innocent question before the break. I mean, remember your first job or your first couple of jobs, you know, getting through high school, you know, for the first time earning a little bit of your own money, being able to go to the movies without asking mom and dad for a couple bucks or being able to buy your own shampoo and conditioner. You know, Jane, those are kind of very simple but monumental moments in a young person's life. And if you're not even having that moment until you're 24, 25, 26 years old, we are failing the very Yes. foundation of this country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, the necessity to make sure that kids can make these transitions from school to work and to create opportunities is a problem that is even more dire in communities where we have concentrated poverty and a lack of jobs altogether. And also in minority communities, we have a lot of young people who are struggling to go to school, even with the levels of poverty that we see now in our local communities. So There's clearly a need for subsidized work if that's what is required. We can't simply let the problem lie without addressing it.
No, but we certainly can't. Are there programs out there that are working? Are there pilot programs, community programs that would be a model for us to follow, to invest in, to push more to push on our lawmakers to see if we can't find a way to partner with government to make this happen?
Absolutely. There are individual efforts in the state. Focus Hope in Detroit is a prime example. There's a program in Battle Creek. The challenge is to take these programs to scale or replicate them in other communities. But if people aren't talking about it and thinking about it, it isn't going to happen. So part of it is getting people thinking about this and the implications of what's happening to young people. That's important to get people putting their creative energies into strategies and problem solving.
You know, we can ill afford to ignore this. This is, again, the longer we're talking, I don't want to be wholesale negative here, Jane Zundermero. I don't. Although these are daunting numbers, this is an incredibly important conversation to have. But it needs to move beyond talk, and it must be about action. And, I think that's the most difficult part about this is nobody's discussing, nobody's having this dialogue. And with all the conversations that are happening right now, and unfortunately it's just conversation, I'm worried. I'm truly worried.
I think it's very telling that half of this report is devoted to recommendations for what people can do in various sectors to address this. Employers, local communities, state government, the national government, and there are certainly advocacy organizations at the national level. Opportunity Nation, for example, is working on this, and there are a number of state and national advocacy organizations that are trying to push to get people to start thinking about this.
Yeah, well, we have to do something. There's no question that this is a serious, serious problem that must be addressed, and it must be addressed quickly. I'm sitting here, my head's just spinning, Jane, because I know that we have a serious problem getting veterans back to work, those that have served in recent wars. They have now come home, and they can't find jobs. That's an issue. Certainly what we're talking about is, again, I think it's pandemic. This problem is pandemic. Mm-hmm. That's a serious issue. We're not addressing the educational needs. We've dropped the ball on vocational ed. And I don't know that we're even listening to young people and asking them, what do you need? What can we do for you? Because, unfortunately, as adults, we just say, well, I did it. You should be able to do it.
Right, and the world has changed quite dramatically, and that's an important point, really, about the importance of having young people involved and listening to young people about what their barriers are and what their needs are and how we can best help them. Because without that component, we just don't have a clear idea of what the world is like for young people at this point in their lives.
All right. Well, we're just out of time for today, Jane Zundermero. Again, you can go to mlpp.org, mlpp.org, to get more information. Jane, thank you so much. Please keep us updated on what's going on with this issue so we can continue to place some focus on it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about it.
No, it's my pleasure. A quick break here, folks.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310. WDTW. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Let's quickly go to the phone and welcome Stephen Monroe to First Shift.
I think you can look at the bigger picture, and the unions basically brought the textile industry to its knees.
Let me say this
about the textile industry. It was largely non-union, so that's one of the... I have to say that's kind of a dumb argument.
On 1310 WDTW.
Trade in your two left feet for a shiny pair of dancing shoes. Get three intro dance lessons at Fred Astaire Dance Studio, Bloomfield Hills, and learn how to rumba, cha-cha, waltz, and more. SweetJack.com nabbed half off.
This is Ron Scott.
We're moving to 11:30 a.m. WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 a.m. We will keep fighting for justice on 11:30 a.m. WDFN.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Mean that they're going to be dormant. In fact, I have in studio with me a couple people that are going to share this story. Joining me now, I'm happy to say, is Chrissy Cates. Chrissy is the recording secretary of the executive board of Teamsters Local 332, and one of the newest members of Teamsters Local 332 is Tanya Chin Ki Fat, a certified nursing assistant with Genesis Convalescent Center. And Chrissy and Tanya, welcome to First Shift.
Well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you
We're glad to be here.
You know, I'm glad you're both here. Big fan of the Teamsters. People don't always understand. They think Teamsters, they think truckers. So slow down, folks. They're a very diverse organization. Chrissy, let me start with you. Let's talk about the diversity of the Teamsters and who they represent.
Well, I can talk specifically about our local in Flint, Local 332. We actually have 80 different contracts out of our local, and it is very diverse, and half of our local is healthcare. And like you said, a lot of people don't realize that we're not all UPS and truck drivers, that we do have a lot of healthcare out of our specific local.
All right, let's talk a little bit, Chrissy, before we turn our microphones over to Tanya for a moment about what's happening or what happened at Genesis Convalescent Center. And are they in Flint proper, or are they in Flush? Are they just in the general area?
It's in the general area in Grand Blanc.
Grand Blanc, okay.
Yep, it is actually very close to the actual medical center that is also in Grambling, the Genesis Medical Center.
And you also have members at the Genesis Medical Center, do you not?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So let's explain how this happens. At some point, Genesis Convalescent Center must have approached you folks, or you approached them, about organizing. Obviously, there were issues there because these things just don't happen out of thin air, correct?
That's correct. And actually, and Tanya can speak really well to this, but they came to us. Quite a few of the employees at the convalescent center approached us at the local is asking for help. Things were that bad.
All right. Well, let's, again, turn our attention now to Tanya Chinkeyfett. Tanya, it's there's nothing easy about the transition from non-union to union. So I would imagine in the workplace there were specific issues. People don't understand that when you're not unionized, you don't have a nurse-to-patient ratio that's respected. Every supervisor can treat you differently. One can ask you to work 12 hours. Some can ask you to work 18 hours. You can be asked to work a double and then end up working a triple. People don't understand that those are all parts of the collective bargaining process. You don't have to get terribly invasive here, Tanya, but if you would, what was going on at the convalescent center that concerned you folks?
A lot of concern was dealing with patient care. Staffing and fairness as far as with each employee, you know, like you said, you know, what goes for me may not go for another. But the main concern was for our patients, because if you don't have Tony safe, and I would say pleasant environment, you won't be able to take care of your residents. And that's one of the things that we wanted, to truly take care of our residents. We want to have enough staff to be able to spend quality time with each resident that we had at the convalescent center. Management really was one day to the next. It depends if the wind blew this way, okay, fine. If it went another way, okay, fine. So we just wanted a voice in this.
You know, let's remind people, Tanya, that when you're in a convalescent home, you're there because you need specified care. Some people can't even get out of bed, where others are, have a little bit more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But you need that one-on-one time with that person, not to mention the fact that these folks are lonely. For a lot of them, they don't get the visitors that they'd like to get. You are their social life.
That's it. We become their family. Now, I've been at Genesis Convalescent Center for 16 years. So I spend half of my time there at work because I'm a full-time employee, and also the same care that I would give a family member of my own, I would give to my residents at the convalescent center. And we do become. We know what they like, what they don't like, what they can do, if they're having a bad day. It's just like having your grandmother, your aunt. You know, we have a lot of younger people coming in also, so we can relate to them, far as people my age are in the convalescent center also getting taken care of.
You know, Christy Cates, what we didn't hear Tanya say was, well, we weren't getting paid enough. Where was the bonus? My vacation time was all whacked out. Not one word about that. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about patient care and how critical that foundational understanding is, if you show up for work every day and you know patient Y really needs that extra 30 minutes and you can't give that to them, as a worker, I can't imagine that that doesn't really get to them after a while.
And that's exactly where they were, Tony. When they came to us, they told us that they had 26 aid vacancies that were not filled. 26, and they weren't posted to fill. They were not taking the effort to even try to give them help. And so it was a big concern for them. They kept asking for help and weren't getting it. And that is a concern. I was told by one RN when we were meeting with this group that she was in charge at one time of 30 people
Wow.
in that convalescent center to try and pass meds on. I can't imagine. I'm an RN myself, and I worked in that medical center for over 16 years. And I can tell you, I can't even imagine as an RN trying to pass meds on 30 patients and do it timely and meet their needs timely.
Well, what people can't see right now is Tanya sitting here shaking her head yes. And I can tell that this is something that really, really bothered you.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the journey. You meet with Teamsters Local 332. They tell you what has to happen. You guys have to get to work now. And then you've got to be careful how you do this, because word gets out at the wrong time. You can, of course, you are at-will employees at that point. They could have fired you for any reason. And listen, let's be honest about it. I don't care if you've been there 16 days or 16 years. They don't care. It's about economics.
Exactly. That's true, Tony. When we went to the Teamsters, and like you said, they told us what we needed to do, and I was one of them. You know, the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah,
so I definitely had to be one of the key players, because I guess they call me the motivated speaker. So it was difficult, but then it wasn't, because all of us there were 10, 15, 20 years, some almost 30 years that been there, and we were just tired. So we wanted fairness. We wanted, Chris. When Chris is talking about far as the nurses and the patient, now I'm a nursing assistant. I have 9. And by us being short staff, I will have 9. I may end up having 13 or 14 people that I had to take care of. And like you said, everybody has different needs. Some people you need to spend more time with others, and it just wasn't happening. We had several meetings with management. You know, they said they'll take care of it. Months passed, then years passed, and so we had to do something.
And, of course, you're going to still give the same quality of care to the patient. I mean, I understand that. You're not going to say somebody needs a bedpan. They need a bedpan.
Exactly.
Tanya, you can't say, hey, listen, I got 8 other people that need me right now. Somebody needs that. You know, and then there's the dignity question here. You want to make sure that these, and let's call them family members, because that's what they are.
That's
you
right.
want to make sure that there's some dignity in their care. You you all understand from a very compassionate place that you want people to feel comfortable. You want them to feel compassion. You want them to feel welcome. And it's very difficult to do that. I imagine you walked away from a lot of shifts going, I can't do this in every other day, but you turned around and did it anyway.
Yes, we did. Yeah. We did. And with the family members, it's hard coming into a facility like this, because, you know, people work their whole life not thinking they'll end up in a nursing home. So you try to make this their home, because now it is. And it gets hard some days, but we are there for, it's not just a job, it's for the resident.
How long did it take from the time you met with the Teamsters to the time you organized?
I think about 5 months.
Wow, that's, Chris, that's
fast. 5, 6 months, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They came to us in a very, very large group.
Yes.
They were all very motivated to keep, to make this happen. And there is a diverse group even at the convalescent center. So besides Tanya as an aide, a nurse's aide, we had dietary involved. We had housekeeping involved. We had the RNs involved. They were all coming at us from every avenue saying, we all need the help.
As a union, that has to be empowering for you. Again, let's keep in mind the setting. They're in a convalescent center, what they're doing there. It has to be empowering for you to see that kind of diversity and mass coming to you. And I don't remember what the vote was, but I know it wasn't even close. There was, I mean, to join the union, it wasn't even close. It was ridiculously wonderful in favor of joining the union. But it had to be a good news for you, Chris, when that very diverse, massive group comes to you and says, we're ready, because you knew they were.
Yes, we did.
All right, we have to take a quick break. You both stay right where you're at, and we will come right back. Oh, my, oh, my. This is a great story. See, labor victory, folks. Chris Gates and Tanya Chin Kifat are my guests. They are both now Teamsters, and happy about that. We've got more to talk about when First Shift continues.
Hi, this is Progress, Michigan, wishing all the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020. Monday
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Ah, oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Chris Gates is with us, the recording secretary and of the executive board of Teamsters Local 332. And Tanya Chi-Ken-Fat, she is a certified nursing assistant with the Genesis Convalescence Center in Grand Blanc. And good news, they are now part of Teamsters Local 332. A lot of brothers and sisters at the medical center, so they join a larger family. Chris, let me just for a moment turn my attention to you. We still haven't mentioned finances, economics at all, except to say that we know that management's always looking to save money. I understand that. We have no problem with anybody being profitable. We need them to be profitable. That's how we get paid. And mm-hmm. we also want them to be fair. And as Tanya has so eloquently laid this out, this has really mostly been about patient care and making sure that you can. These are very common issues mm-hmm. in either nursing or nursing homes or convalescent centers. These generally are what get people's ire up, right?
Yes, you're correct. And I can say in regards to most of the healthcare out of our local, besides the convalescent center, we also represent other hospice and we other nursing homes. And yes, that is pretty much they'll come to us and say it's their work environment. First and foremost, but in regards to the wage rate, you brought that up, and we do want them to be profitable, because we need our jobs too. But it was the unfairness, the being treated unfairly. I can tell you that one of the issues they said that that was put on a list actually of their of issues is that they haven't had pay raises in over, what, Tanya, 4 or 5 years, some of them.
Bonuses that we had, we haven't had those in a while.
Yep. Those got taken away, mm-hmm. yeah. So I know that was a little piece. But to listen to this group of employees, it wasn't the biggest issue. It was how they were disrespected and talked to and yelled at openly in hallways. It was the unfair treatment between coworkers. And it was them advocating, as we do as healthcare professionals, for our patients in whatever forum you're in, whether it's hospice, the medical center. That is what we do. We advocate so they get good treatment. So, yes, wages were part of it, but it wasn't, like, the top thing on
the list. No, and that's the point I was trying to make. Tanya, I've got to ask about morale. How about, and just, take your time, before you're organized and after you're organized, what's the difference in morale between those two periods of time?
Before, it was like a black cloud. A black cloud, the morale was terrible, people's attitudes, even our residents noticed the short staffing that we had. You just couldn't imagine. Out of 20 people, you maybe have one to try to keep up a good fight, but it was just too much for all of us.
It's daunting,
and
isn't it?
It's terrible, terrible. But after we voted, and the vote, Tony, was fired with the nursing assistants, housekeeping, and maintenance was 87 to 18.
Wow.
Yes. The nurses were, I think it was 26 to 3 mm-hmm. far as the vote. After we got the vote, I thought I was the president of the United States. I hollered. I screamed. I felt joy. We had people crying. We all stood together. These are people we just work with here today. That made us a family. Close and talking. You just couldn't imagine. You just couldn't imagine. And I have never been union. This would be the first time I have been represented and been in a union. It's wonderful.
Morale is better today?
Oh, my goodness gracious. It was awesome. I told them, some of my coworkers, I said, I wasn't this excited when I got married. And a lot of them said, well, are you still married? I said, well, yes, I am. But it was so wonderful because I was a part of it. It's a difference in between on the outside looking in. But when you actually are part of it, talking to people, getting different opinions on a lot of things. And the main concern was the fairness or our contract, or the handbook. It always was re-advised from one day to the next, and that was one of my main concerns. If you put something in writing, it should stay. That's it. But it can be like that today, and then tomorrow, we forgot to send the email.
Well, and again, there's that consistency
exactly.
issue. There's that,
That's right.
Supervisor A wants it done differently than Supervisor B. And, Chris, the great, and it's got to be wonderful for you to see, not just hear, but to see Tanya's exuberance and excitement, and if people were in the studio, you would actually feel how great that is. But yet, we hear unions are the big, bad, ugly monster, and all they're mm-hmm. after are your union dues, and they don't care about you.
Right.
I would suggest that this kind of dispels that myth a little bit, right, Chris?
It does. They try to, administration and the medical center try that card. They do. But I tell you what, there is nothing like And Tanya was the one that, God love her, she was the one that first said to me, Chris, to the people that would, when the medical center would bring up, oh, the dues, it was Tanya that said, you pay car insurance. This is, you know, and you don't ever use it. And that was her own personal spiel mm-hmm. that she would tell to those coworkers, and they looked at it in a different light, like, oh, my God, yes. And so it really wasn't an issue for these guys, even though the medical center played it in their anti-union campaign. And it didn't work for these people because it wasn't an issue.
Well, one of the things, and you can both address this, one of the things we were talking about during before we went on the air was the grievance process. I mean, one of the, you know, your union dues are used in pretty substantial ways to support you in the workplace. And so if there's a grievance, now you've got a system in place that all right. of a sudden makes it more fair. You know, during the whole Proposal 2 debate, it was about democracy in the workplace. Well, that collective bargaining agreement gives you democracy in the workplace. Right. Either one of you can take that one.
It does. A contract in your grievance process, as Tanya has already said, is they wanted a voice. And that contract is a legal binding document that says these are the rules and you both got to play by them, right? And if they violate that, that is a process that we use in a union to make sure your voice is heard and the rules are followed by everybody. It's about people being treated fairly, all the employees being treated the same. And that is the best part of a union contract is your grievance process and having that voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Tanya, I'm going to give you the last word. I can't believe it. We're almost out of time. I just looked up at the clock, and I can't believe we're almost out of time. So I'll give you the last word. First of all, congratulations on your affiliation with Teamsters Local 332.
Thank you. I want to say to people that are not, it's worth it. You wouldn't just imagine, and I think a lot of people, Tony, are anti-union because they're not educated about it. You know, they already have, well, my dad or my aunt or my... You have to... A lot of things you have to know on your own. And that's what a lot of us did. They would come into the meetings just to get educated because, of course, the first thing they said, union dues are going to go to waste. And that was one of my things. Okay, you pay car insurance just in case you get in an accident. At least the union dues are tax deductible.
There you go. So, we're out of time. I'm going to have to set. I apologize for that. Tanya Chinkey Fat and Chris Cates, thanks so much for being with us. If anything we can do, you know we're here for you.
Thank you, Tony. Right. We've enjoyed it.
Yep. Let's take a quick break here.
Hi, this is Steve Henderson, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, and I want to wish everyone at First Shift a happy holiday and happy new year.
On 1310. WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Well, AISI, it was NBD.
You don't know what your kids are saying online or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
What I want to be when I grow up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your 6-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
This is Detroit.